Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the show that explores the background of Tolkien's amazing world from the very beginning.
With J.R.R. Tolkien's works, there are certain things that you can put your finger on. You can point to, and you can say, this is really cool because of this other thing. For example, this word is very interesting because it is derived from these other words in Elven or whatever. And you can point to a direct correlation. This theme is really interesting because this character suffers from it and it reoccurs throughout the story. You can put your finger on those kinds of things. There's something that I struggle to pin down exactly about the way that he tells stories around the most, I don't know, interesting or important topics, and the way that he takes a point, something that you probably can predict as a reader, as somebody who's read fantasy stories or fiction just in general, and you have a general sense of where things are going, how things will play out. And yet, he takes his time with them. He lets certain things in the stories mature, percolate, happen at their own pace. I'm not exactly sure what to call this, because there are definitely moments in the stories, especially in the stories like in the Silmarillion, where you end up with these big overviews, and some things get real drawn out, and they get zoomed in, and you get lots of details, and other things are just glossed over very quickly. Well, this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. And in those cases, yeah, you can't say that he takes his time with certain key aspects of the story. He just kind of states them and moves on. But in the moments where we are zoomed in and there is something particularly interesting, for example, in the story that we're talking about today, this story is called Aldarion and Arrendis, the Mariner's Wife. It gives up the goat. Is that even a phrase? But it tells you what the story is about. It tells you who the two most important characters are, who the story is going to focus on, that they eventually will get married. When you start the story out, you realize, oh, they're not married yet. In fact, we haven't really talked about Arrendis very much. Aldarion's got a lot of focus so far, but we haven't gotten to Arrendis. So we can assume, okay, that part is going to happen and things will play out and they will end up married, and then we will hear the story of them being together and whatever happens with that. And yet he takes his time. He doesn't rush to that point. He lets his characters be three-dimensional. He gives them other aspects, other relations, other connections, and the stories benefit from that. They feel three-dimensional. And even though we know they will eventually end up together, there's still that feeling of, but how? And in what details? And wait, maybe they won't. Or what actually is going on here? It leaves room for these extra questions and time to let the focus of the story kind of seep in. And then on top of that, everything's detailed with these other pieces of information that make the world feel, again, three-dimensional. It's not just about these two characters. It's not just about a few people and how everything inevitably worked toward a certain end. It's about conflict and people who love multiple things at the same time, and tradition and the way the world put them in their place and worked around them. And I think maybe that's the secret to grounding his world and his stories in something that resonates and feels real, even though we know it's fantasy. So let that sink in as we get further into the story and we learn a little bit more about Arrendis this week. So our story begins, well, this part of the story begins with a reminder that this is now about 800 years since the beginning of the Second Age. It seems like a very long time, and yet we are only a few generation of kings into the lineage of the Numenorean royalty, because they live so long. In our world, 800 years would have seen many, many generations go by. But in Numenor, when you have somebody like Aldarion turning 100 years old, and that's still considered young, then the kingships last much longer. This part of the story starts off with Meneldur and his son Aldarion, our main character, getting along. We're told that for a time there was peace between them. And this was probably because Aldarion realized that his father was going to proclaim him heir to the throne, and he needed to be on his best behavior. He needed to stay at home, not go adventuring out into the ocean, to the sea, to the other lands across the sea. And Aldarion was proclaimed heir in his 100th year of his age, as Tolkien states it. And he received from his father the title and power of Lord of the Ships and Havens of Numenor. And you can see another moment where Aldarion's father realizes the things that his son loves, and he wants to give his son the freedom to make his choices and to do what he needs to do, but he also needs him to make the right choices. And so he's going to make him heir, proclaim him Lord of the Ships and the Havens, because he knows that's where his interests lie, but also with the hope that it keeps him at home. If he's Lord of the Ships and the Havens, then he's not the one going out on the ships. He's the one staying at home in order to manage those things. And it was during this time, during the proclamation of heir, during the feasting and the celebrations, that we learn about Arrendis. It's said that to the feasting in Armenelos came one Beregar from his dwelling in the west of the isle, and with him came Arrendis, his daughter. And there Almerion the queen observed her beauty, a kind seldom seen in Numenor, for Beregar came from the house of Beor by ancient descent, though not of the royal line of Elros. And Arrendis was dark-haired and of slender grace, with the clear gray eyes of her kin. This is the sort of beauty that you find when you meet somebody who is beautiful and attractive, but in different ways than you. You don't see a reflection of yourself, the same hairstyle, the same body type, maybe even the same specific shade of skin color or something like that. But you see somebody who is like a foreign beauty. And to the people of Elros's line of descent, she would look distinctly different coming from the house of Beor. But Arrendis looked upon Aldarion as he rode by, and for his beauty and splendor of bearing, she had eyes for little else. Immediately when she sees him, he catches her eye. Thereafter, Arrendis entered the household of the queen and found favor also with the king. But little did she see of Aldarion, who busied himself in the tending of the forests. And take note here, being concerned that in days to come, timber should not lack in Numenor. And I think this is of note here, not just the whole situation with her entering the household of the queen, basically working for the queen, becoming a maid of the queen, that sort of thing, right? She became part of this royal entourage. That's important. And the part where she sees Aldarion and he seems like this beautiful, splendorous, you know, prince, of course, that seems appealing, right? But even more interesting, I think, to the later story here is that at this time, Aldarion is not traveling to sea. He's staying home, and he is not the lord of forests and woodworking. He's the lord of the ships and the harbor. And in order to make sure that those ships and that harbor have enough ships, have enough materials, he's concerned during this time about the timber, about the forests. But to what ends, we aren't told yet. So time goes by, and we're reminded that these are not the only characters here. The Guild Adventurers, the mariners who worked with and for Aldarion on the ships and at sea, become restless. The specific words here are that they were ill-content to voyage more briefly and more rarely under lesser commanders. The idea here is that they were not getting what they needed from the people in charge and the people who were actually leading the journeys out to sea, the people commanding their ships. The journeys were not as good without Aldarion leading them. 6 years passes, and finally Aldarion, the king's heir at this point, agrees to set sail to Middle-earth again. And you can expect what's going to happen here. The king is not happy about this decision. Meneldir wants his son to stay at home. It says, of the king he got but grudging leave, for he refused his father's urging that he abide in Numenor and seek a wife, and he set sail in the spring of the year. The king knows that he's his heir. The king knows that the heir needs to have a wife because the heir of the king needs to create descendants in order to maintain the line of kings. And if he's at sea, if he goes off to gallivant on the ocean with the boys, then he is not at home finding a wife and settling down. But he still won't put his foot down completely and keep him from leaving. But then we get this really interesting point here. But coming to bid farewell to his mother, he saw Arrendis amid the queen's company, and looking on her beauty, he divined the strength that lay concealed in her. An interesting point. Put a pin in that. Hold on to that. Then Almerion said to him, his mother, must you depart again, Aldarion, my son? Is there nothing that will hold you in the fairest of all mortal lands? Notice the phrasing here. The fairest of all. Is there nothing? She's alluding to something. These lands are fair, not because they are beautiful, but because they contain beauty that might keep him there, like a woman. Not yet, he answered, but there are fairer things in Armenelos than a man could find elsewhere, even in the lands of the Eldar. So he's kind of acknowledging what his mother is alluding to here. But then he says, but mariners are men of two minds, at war with themselves, and the desire of the sea still holds me. Basically, he's responding by saying, I understand what you're saying, mother. The women here are beautiful. I get that. I understand that you and father want me to settle down and take a wife. And I'm not unlike what you would expect. I find these women attractive, but my heart is split. There is the love of the sea, and then there is the love of a wife. And for now, the sea holds more strongly over me. Arrendis believed that these words were spoken also for her ears, and from that time forth, her heart was turned wholly to Aldarion, though not in hope. And I love the nuance in this. She's there. She knows that they're talking about these things. She picks up on the nuance in the conversation, and she realizes that maybe he's even alluding to the fact that he finds her particularly attractive and that she might be somebody he would consider to marry in the future. But she's not going to hope. She knows that she has feelings for him. She's 100% in. But she also realizes that he's the prince, and things may not turn her way, and she needs to be prepared for that. And Tolkien understands why we would assume that maybe she wouldn't want to hope, because in many kingdoms, you have the royalty, and the royalty only are supposed to be married to other royalty or other people of specific descent. And at that time, it reminds us here in this text, at that time, that was not one of the laws or customs of the Numenoreans. The king or the king's heir were able to marry whoever they wanted to. This was known. Arrendis knew this. But yet, we're told that Arrendis deemed that Aldarion was too high. He was too high in stature. So although he had already captured her heart, she wasn't going to assume that he would choose her. And yet, she looked on no man with favor thereafter, and every suitor she dismissed. Nobody matched him in her mind. And it seems like she had decided that if she couldn't be with him, then she wouldn't be with anyone. It was him or nobody.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the middle of the show. Wow, that was a little more in my voice than I had planned. Welcome. It's like I'm one of the guys announcing like monster trucks or something. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. Thank you to our patrons, including our newest patrons, Janet E. and Philip F. Welcome to the Patreon. I'm so glad that you're here. I hope you are enjoying the benefits of the different tiers that you've signed up on. Also, I have to shout out our VIP patrons. Here we go. Let's go down the list. AK Music Lover, Anakin Skywalker, Apollo, Aragorn III, Austin C, Azzle Razzle, Barney D, Bo Black Squirrel, Brandy D, Chewbacca, Cutter Metalworks, David S, David M, Divine Madman, Drupal, Esoteric Rage, Fulcrum, Gimli A Break, Gemma D, Jesse P, J Eggs, Jezzer, Kate L, Katie S, Capenna, Lore FC, Lori B, Mason Weathertop, Michael M, Nick K, Nostrils of Sauron, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Peace Lutheran Church, Richard J, Rosie Rose, Sam B, Sauron for Life, Seju, TJT, and Tour Son of Hur. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for being here. And thank you for those of you who are leaving reviews on Apple Podcasts. 5-star reviews get read out in the future, like this one from DJ/, I think that's 2 underscores. This says, excellent lore podcast. Robots is truly a master of the meaning behind Tolkien's masterpieces and has studied not just a biased view of Tolkien's background, but a truly well-rounded view of every side of the story. This is extremely refreshing, and I would highly recommend this podcast to anyone who wants to know the deeper meanings behind Tolkien's work in a podcast that is not too hard to understand if you just put a little bit of effort into it. Keep it on keeping on, Tom. Keep on keeping on. Man, I messed that up. But thank you so much, DJ. Those are such kind words. And just real fast, thank you for that very specific compliment about being well-rounded and non-biased. I try to do that. This is something that I think I experienced a lot in my years in college, studying religious history and multiple religions and then philosophy and all of that. So many of those topics, although those are hotbed topics for so many people just out in the world, in that setting, it was a safe place. It was a place where every time a topic was introduced as if it was the truth. And with an air of, this is what the people or the person who believes this actually believe, and this is why. So that every topic was actually given, I don't know, a chance. It wasn't about coming at the topic and going, well, this one's dumb because of this, and this one's incorrect because of this. It was more about, like, people actually believe this, and here's why. So if that resonates with you, maybe you believe that too. Who knows? That's part of the journey of knowledge, is giving everything a fair shot. So hopefully I provide that in this show as well. That's an interesting perspective, and I'm glad you noticed that, and that helps me feel good about what I'm putting out into the world. So thank you so much. Also, if you want to help out the show, you can rate the show on Spotify. You can share it with your friends, all of that stuff. Thank you so much for being here. I won't take any more of your time in the mid-break. Let's get back to the rest of the story. So this time, Aldarion sets off out into the ocean, out to the greater world of Middle-earth for 7 years. This is one of the longest journeys so far that we have a record of, right? Remember, the records are a little bit full of holes at times. But in this case, 7 years pass and he comes back. And this time he brings with him silver and gold. And he goes to speak with his father, thinking that these gifts might help with the whole situation there, with his father not being happy about him leaving and being gone for so long. But Menelder says, "Rather would I have had you beside me than any news or gifts from the dark lands. This is the part of merchants and explorers, not the king's heir. What need have we for more silver and gold, unless to use in pride where other things would serve as well? The need of the king's house is for a man who knows and loves this land and its people, which he will rule." Those are pretty harsh words. Basically, you brought a bunch of very expensive things back, a lot of wealth, and that wasn't enough, because that's not what the king wants. He has enough silver and gold. It's not about that. It's about preparing for the future. Aldarion responds, "Do I not study men all my days? I can lead and govern them as I will." Basically, I'm doing that. I'm out in the world gaining this experience to govern by going on these journeys. That is my experience. That is what I'm doing. Menelder responds, "Say rather some men, and like mind with yourself," answered the king. "There are also women in Numenor, scarce fewer than men, and save your mother, whom indeed you can lead as you will. What do you know of them? Yet one day you must take a wife." It's kind of a jab here, two jabs at the same time. First of all, you're out on the ocean. You're spending time with these other sailors who are like-minded with you. You're going to get along with them. They're not as hard to lead as people who are of differing minds, which you will find back here in Numenor, and people who are distinctly different from you than just other men. These ships are full of men. You're spending all of your time with men, but you need to take a wife. You need to understand what it's like to interact with women, to actually be able to find a wife. That's what's important here. "One day," said Aldarion, "but not before I must, and later, if any try to thrust me toward marriage." Basically, he puts his foot down and says, "Don't worry, I'll do it eventually. But the harder you push, the later it'll be. Other things I have to do are more urgent to me, for my mind is bent on them." And then he quotes a saying here, "Cold is the life of a mariner's wife. And the mariner who is single of purpose and not tied to the shore goes further and learns better how to deal with the sea." He doubles down on this, but still doesn't tell his father why. Basically, the sea is urgent to him. Going on these journeys is important to him, and if he were to take a wife, she would sit at home alone. Cold is the life of a mariner's wife. And he would know that, and he wouldn't go on journeys as long. He would turn back more often. He would wait to go on journeys, and so he would put all of his interest and all of his focus on whatever it is out there that he's doing. Some of it would get split. Menelder responds, "Further, but not more profit, and you do not, quote, deal with the sea, Aldarion, my son. Do you forget that the Edain dwell here under the grace of the lords of the West, that Uenen is kind to us, and Osei is restrained? Our ships are guarded, and other hands guide them than ours. So be not overproud, or the grace may wane, and do not presume that it will extend to those who risk themselves without need upon the rocks of strange shores or in the lands of men of darkness. He puts him in his place here a little bit. He's like, you're proud. You think that you are this great mariner, this man who can tame the seas and go on these journeys and go where you want because of your own skill and your own hands. But don't forget that we are guided like children being looked upon. This is not just your own ability. And if you do extend beyond their will, their guidance may not follow. But Eldarion knows this, and he points it in a slightly different direction. He turns it around, and he says, to what purpose, then, is the gracing of our ships, if they are to sail to no shores and may seek nothing not seen before? Why keep us safe in our ships if we aren't supposed to use them for what ships are used for? Is his response. And the conversation ends. He spoke no more to his father of such matters. So he stays at home for a while again. And during this time, he works with the company of venturers to build a vessel greater than any that's ever been made before. He names the ship Polarin, the Far Wanderer. And again, his intentions seem to still be on the sea, but for some reason, and a reason that he hasn't really revealed yet. And during this time, we find out about this conversation between the king, Meneldir, and his wife, Almerion. They are considering different women who might be good for potential mates, for their son, for potential marriage. And the queen recognizes that Arrendis might be a good match for him. But the king isn't so sure. We get this conversation. The king says it would be more kind to cure Eldarion of his restlessness before he wins the heart of any woman. And the queen responds, how else will you cure him if not by love? And considering Arrendis, the king responds, Arrendis is yet young. And then the wife answers, the kin of Arrendis have not the length of life that is granted to the descendants of Elros, and her heart is already won. Basically, if she's going to be the one, it needs to be soon. And she's already convinced. The queen can tell. So time goes by. They build the great ship Palaran. And Eldarion announces that he's going to leave again. And again, Meneldir, it says here, becomes wrathful, but is persuaded by the queen to stay his power and let him go. And we end up with this really interesting section here. It says, here must be told the custom of when a ship departed from Numenor over the great sea to Middle Earth. A woman, most often of the captain's kin, should set upon the vessel's prow the green bow of return. And that was cut from the tree Oileri, I'm probably butcher that name, that signifies ever summer, which the Eldar gave to the Numenoreans. This is a tradition. This is a similar tradition to many cultures had when sending people off to sea, because the sea was so turbulent and unpredictable. They would say that they set it upon their own ships in token of friendship with Osei and Uenen. The leaves of that tree were evergreen, glossy and fragrant, and it throve upon sea air. But Meneldir forbade the queen and the sisters of Eldarion to bear the bow of Oileri to Romena. Basically, you can't go. You can't do this. I'm not allowing you to at least do that part of it. And Eldarion finds out about this and he says, if I must go without blessing or bow, then so I will go. I'm going to go anyway. But then the queen was grieved. But Arrendis said to her, Tiraya, T-A-R-I-H-Y-A, and I search for this. I can't find that word or what it actually means. It's probably some sort of, it's got the Y-A end on it. It's a familial phrase for respect for an elder woman, maybe? I don't know. Something like that would be my guess. If you will cut the bough from the elven tree, I will bear it to the haven by your leave. For the king has not forbidden it to me, because she's not related. She's not one of the sisters. The mariners thought it was an ill thing that the captain should depart thus. Basically, because this was a sign, this was a good omen. This is something that was going to help guarantee their safe passage, and that made them nervous. But when all was made ready and men prepared to weigh anchor, Arendis came there, little though she loved the noise and bustle of the great harbor and the crying of the gulls. Aldarion greeted her with amazement and joy, and she said, "I have brought you the bough of return, Lord, from the queen." "From the queen," said Aldarion in a changed manner. "Yes, Lord," she said, "but I asked for her leave to do so. Others beside your own kin will rejoice at your return as soon as may be." Again, notice the subtlety of the language here. At that time, Aldarion first looked at Arendis with love, and he stood long in the stern, looking back as the Palarin passed out to sea. It is said that he hastened his return and was gone less time than he had designed. And coming back, he brought gifts for the queen and the ladies of her house. But the richest gift he brought for Arendis, and that was a diamond.
Thanks for listening to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. If you'd like to learn more about other fantasy worlds, check out my other podcasts, The Elder Scrolls Lorecast, The Witcher Lorecast, and more at robotsradio.net. If you'd like to reach out, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a note on Twitter at robots_radio, or join our amazing community on the Robots Radio Discord. There are links in the show notes, or just search Robots Radio Discord, or find the link on robotsradio.net. I'll see you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.